This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Join us at 603-283-6160. Large amount of participation here tonight. And phones are open for you. With you in the studio, it's Ian and Aria. We are going to continue with your calls and thoughts, and then we'll talk a little bit about the whatever this controversy is surrounding the latest Harry Potter world video game. I don't even know if Harry Potter's in this game.
It's one of those.
It's from that universe, I guess you could say. And so there's controversy. It has to do with trans people, and you happen to be trans, Aria, so you're going to comment on it. But first, we're going to go to your phone calls and thoughts. We got Crichton on the line in Kentucky. Crichton, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Good evening. I wanted to call in and talk about the ads all the time, but before I mention that, I wanted to mention to Aria that I can see it on your face because I get many migraines as well, that you're suffering. And in my experience, is the best solution, the immediate solution, is combination of caffeine and aspirin.
I mean, that's sort of the issue. I'm giving up caffeine these days. I've cut back on caffeine a lot. Right?
How much? From how much to what?
Probably 600 milligrams a day.
That's a lot, right?
Yeah.
Okay. A cup of coffee is like, what, 150, 120, or something like that?
Yes. And a can of Monster typically contains between 150 and 200 milligrams of caffeine, depending on...
like a 16-ounce can or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I would tend to drink between 2 and 3 Monsters a day. I've cut Monsters out of my diet entirely.
Wow. Okay.
Because, I mean, they're very high in sugar, and I want to lose weight.
There, right?
And cutting out the Monsters, and I'm already having trouble sleeping, so cutting out Monsters is the best way to do it.
Okay.
So I'm...
Well, you don't need that much caffeine.
No, I've cut... Yeah, I've cut my caffeine intake down considerably to probably, 10% of what it was to where now I'm just, instead of having a Monster, I'm having a cup of coffee. And I don't like coffee. And it's not as effective. I also cut out the Kratom, and my body's still dealing with that because Kratom, it gives me energy, right? And I've cut that out because it's just time to take a break from it.
Okay.
Well, just a little bit of caffeine helps the blood vessels in the brain constrict, so it helps prevent that. But you have to do you. I'm sure of that. But I wanted to comment about the Azov Battalion and how they're called Nazi, but they're not called Nazi in the context that Americans would really understand. From the Russian perspective, that they're being called Nazi from the Russian perspective because that's the way the Azov Battalion wants to present themselves to the Russian people, to the Russian government. From the Russian perspective of what they call the Great Patriotic War, we call it the Second World War, the Nazis from Germany were ethnically anti-Russian, anti-Rus, the actual ethnicity of most of the Russians in Russia. And that's from that perspective that the Azov Battalion in particular is Nazi, and why they take those Nazi symbols to intimidate Russia in particular from a ethnic cleansing perspective. But the flip side of Zelensky, who is Jewish, commanding the Azov Battalion, a Nazi battalion, is that he's in a strange position that he might actually not be able to not engage in this war with the Azov Battalion until the Azov Battalion itself is destroyed. Because otherwise, if they're still a functioning military, they might turn around on him.
Okay.
Yeah. But, I mean, he has no – he seems to have nothing but – I don't want to use the word respect, but he seems to like – the asthma battalion doesn't seem to have any real issue with them. He sent a number of them out of prison so that they could rejoin the army. He's effectively rebuilt the Azov Battalion and allowed some of his members, some of whom were literal child rapists, to be freed from prison and put back into the military.
And now the Wagner militia group from Russia is destroying them. So it really kind of depends on how you view the perspective of why he would do such a thing.
Are you suggesting that Zelensky did this so that the Russians could execute them?
I'm not saying that that's necessarily how it ever will be looked at in history. I'm saying that's the effect.
Okay.
I guess.
Interesting theory. Crichton, anything else you want to share?
Nope.
Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. The number here is 603-283-6160. Most of the mainstream media seems to be completely ignoring the Azov Battalion, right? Like, they don't want to talk about
that. I blame them. Yeah. It's a difficult issue for people who are so pro-Ukraine, right? And the media is pro-Ukraine. Most of the United States is pro-Ukraine. We got to support Zelensky and freedom and democracy, and never mind the fact that they're shredding democracy and they're shredding freedom of speech and freedom of the press.
In Ukraine, Yeah.
So never mind all of that. You know, freedom!
And when you say they, you mean the people in power, not just the Azov Battalion. That's just a regiment or whatever of the military. They, Zelensky and the Congress over there, the parliament or whatever they are.
Well, until they're dissolved,
they're just Zelensky. They're the ones that are destroying the whatever shreds of freedoms that they had there. They're the ones who passed the recent legislation that allows their equivalent of the FCC to regulate the internet. And they banned the opposition political parties and things like that. So this has nothing to do with freedom. And anyone that thinks that this is anything about freedom for Ukraine is just completely mistaken.
No, and that's one of the... to me, that's one of the signs that you're dealing with an out-of-control, tyrannical government, is when they ban the opposition political parties. When they're like, you know what? Imagine the Republicans being in power saying, you know what? Let's ban the Democratic Party. No more Democrats. You can't be a Democrat anymore. That's the sign that you're dealing with a dictatorship.
It's tyranny.
Yes.
For sure. All right. So to go back to J.K. Rowling and the controversy that I guess has bubbled up over the last, I don't know what, most of the last decade now over her being, quote unquote, a TERF, as you described it. Now, Aria, you did say you were kind of going on what other people had said. You had not actually researched it directly.
I have not.
And to be fair, I have not had a chance to dig through this. But J.K. Rowling does have a lengthy blog post where she kind of explains in her own words, you know, what has happened, what led to what, and so on, you know, the different steps along this this path. And
I seem to recall her admitting or acknowledging or at least agreeing that she is a TERF. And I recall that firsthand experience, and I don't remember if I read it in a tweet. And of course, it could have been a doctored tweet. It could have been, you know, a fake screenshot.
Yeah, if there's ever a screenshot, you never know if it's real. Right. You have to actually see the original to know for sure. Basically, what she says here, and again, not through the whole piece yet, but apparently at some point she liked something on Twitter. She says here that what happened was she did an accidental like. She said she had been taking an interest in gender identity and transgender matters and began screenshotting comments that interested her as a way of reminding herself what she might want to research later. On one occasion, I absentmindedly liked instead of screenshotting. That single like was deemed evidence of wrongthink, and a persistent low level of harassment began. Months later, I compounded my accidental like crime by following Magdalene Burns on Twitter. Magdalene was an immensely brave young feminist and lesbian who was dying of an aggressive brain tumor. I followed her because I wanted to contact her directly, which I succeeded in doing. However, as Magdalene was a great believer in the importance of biological sex and didn't believe lesbians should be called bigots for not dating trans women with penises, dots were joined in the heads of Twitter trans activists, and the level of social media abuse increased.
And I mean, I agree with this. So far, I haven't heard anything in and of itself that's objectionable. Right. Lesbians who don't want to date trans women are not bigots. They're just expressing their preferences, and it's okay to have preferences.
Everybody's got them.
Yeah. There's nothing at all wrong with that.
She says, what I didn't expect in the aftermath of my cancellation was the avalanche of emails and letters that came showering down upon me. the overwhelming majority of which were positive, grateful, and supportive.
Yeah, she was not canceled. She's J.K. Rowling. You can't. And even if she was canceled, she's... I want to say she's a billionaire, but I don't think that's true. But she's got enough
money.
She's
very successful.
It doesn't matter.
Well, I mean, she points out in the previous paragraph that I had skipped that she was told she was literally killing trans people with her hate. She was called words we can't say on the air. And, of course, for her books to be burned, although one particularly abusive man told me he'd composted them. So, I mean, this, I guess, is what she considered her cancellation. People were, you know, turning on her. And it's just never a positive feeling. She said that they came from a cross-section of kind, she's talking about the nice comments she got, empathetic and intelligent people, some working in fields dealing with gender dysphoria and trans people, who are all deeply concerned about the way a socio-political concept is influencing politics, medical practice, and safeguarding. They're worried about the dangers to young people, gay people, and about the erosion of women's and girls' rights. Above all, they're worried about a climate of fear that serves nobody, least of all trans youth, well. She said, I'd stepped back from Twitter for many months before, both before and after tweeting support for Maya, because I knew it was doing nothing good for my mental health. I only returned because I wanted to share a free children's book during the pandemic. Immediately, activists who clearly believed themselves to be good, kind, and progressive people swarmed back into my timeline, assuming a right to police my speech, accuse me of hatred, call me misogynistic slurs, and above all, as every woman involved in this debate will know, TERF. If you didn't already know, and why should you, TERF is an acronym coined by trans activists, which stands for Trans Exclusionary Radical Feminist. In practice, a huge and diverse cross-section of women are currently being called TERFs, and the vast majority have never been radical feminists. Examples of so-called TERFs range from the mother of a gay child who was afraid their child wanted to transition to escape homophobic bullying, to a hitherto totally unfeminist older lady who's vowed never to visit Marks and Spencer again because they're allowing any man who says they identify as a woman into the women's changing rooms. Ironically, radical feminists aren't even trans-exclusionary. They include trans men in their feminism because they were born as women. But accusations of TERFery have been sufficient to intimidate many
people.
Hold on,
can you run that by me again?
She says, ironically, radical feminists aren't even trans-exclusionary. They include trans men in their feminism because they were born as women.
Okay, but that is still trans exclusionary because they're considering those people to be women, not trans men.
So, okay, I see what she's saying, though. I get where she is coming from.
I get what she's saying too, and it sounds at first like it's a valid point, but it's actually the opposite. Mm-hmm. They're treating these trans men as though they're still women, which is the opposite of what of trans tolerance or trans acceptance, whatever terminology one would like to use.
She says, but accusations of TERFery have been sufficient to intimidate many people, institutions, and organizations I once admired who are cowering before the tactics of the playground. They'll call us transphobic. They'll say I hate trans people. What next? They'll say you've got fleas. Speaking as a biological woman, a lot of people in positions of power really need to grow a pair, she says. Which is doubtless literally possible, according to the kind of people who argue that clownfish prove humans aren't a dimorphic species. So why am I doing this? Why speak up? Why not quietly do my research and keep my head down? And then she goes on. She says she has five reasons for being worried about the new trans activism and deciding I need to speak up.
Well, it's because she's J.K. Rowling, and very few people had the impact and the resistance to, quote, being canceled that J.K. Rowling has. She's got enough money, she's got enough prestige
and
fame.
She can afford to do it.
Yes. That she, unlike many of these people, she can withstand being canceled. It's not going to kill her.
Well, and, you know, maybe you and she have more in common, right? Because you're someone who's stood against the quote-unquote trans movement, or the collective, as apparently many of them call themselves, and at whatever cost there might be to you to doing that. Certainly you don't have although you are an author, you certainly don't have this empire of books that they can come crashing down upon with a reputation, and they certainly would have a tougher time indicting you as an actual trans person. But you've done something similar. Like, you've definitely spoken out, and that's what your point, I think, has been on this game that sort of started this whole discussion, this Hogwarts legacy. So what is the controversy of this game?
Basically, it's that. It's that J.K. Rowling is a TERF, and anyone who calls themselves an ally of trans people isn't, quote, allowed to support Hogwarts Legacy, isn't allowed to play it, and if you do play it, you have to pirate it. God forbid you give money. That a lot of it comes down to that.
Is this also like an extension of, if you are a trans person, if you're part of the so-called collective, thou shalt never watch these movies, thou shalt not watch, you know, buy a book or be caught possessing a book. Is there like a total ban amongst these trans people that you're talking about of this woman's works?
There sort of is. It really depends on how far to the left you go or how far into the maniacal side of things you want to go. But there is certainly a group of people who suggest that you're, quote, literally, cause, like she said, you're literally killing trans people with hate speech or whatever.
By buying the video game.
Yeah, and it's complete lunacy, but these people do actually exist. And there are people out there who legitimately believe these sorts of things. Like, I've got a tweet here from someone. This is a trans person. If you so much as speak of supporting Harry Potter or Hogwarts Legacy financially, we're done. We're not friends. You're blocked. Lack of education is not an excuse at this point. Do not support her hateful agenda. If you must read, watch, or play, pirate it. Giving her money is not okay. As though the pennies that J.K. Rowling would get from a purchase of or a sale of Hogwarts Legacy is at all relevant to the discussion here.
Right. Most of the money is going to go to the software house that made the game, right? The programmers, right. The artists, the musicians, the people who created this piece of entertainment.
And there's countless of examples like that. Like someone else said to me, I'm trying to find it now because we had a bit of a conversation. I mentioned it yesterday. Blah, blah, blah. Playing Harry Potter against the wishes of the trans community has butterfly effect waves in other aspects of their life. Like, somehow by playing, you know, Hogwarts Legacy, someone is impacting my life. It's complete nonsense. And this against the wishes of the trans community, that this aspect cannot be talked about more. Who decided what were the wishes of the trans community?
They didn't ask you.
Yeah, no one asked me. What is this, democracy? Because there was no vote. And who gets to speak up and say, look, I'm speaking for the trans community here, because that's what's going on. Someone at some point has stood up and said, I'm the trans community and this is what the trans community has to say. And it doesn't matter that I, as a trans person, am saying something completely different. By huge amounts, what we seem to think is happening, this is myself and a lot of other trans people who recognize the futility of, quote, boycotting Hogwarts Legacy or just being up in arms about this or just ending friendships. We recognize the futility of all of this, and we just like Harry Potter.
Yeah.
What we believe to be going on here is a bunch of, quote, well-meaning straight cis allies who are upset on behalf of trans people. There are trans people out there who are upset about this. Like Stephanie Sterling is one of them. She's gone really off the deep about all of this. But I suspect, and my experience is, most trans people don't really care.
Mm.
But some of them do. And that's fine. You can care about whatever you want.
Kind of like how most, you know, American Indians don't care that the Washington team was the Redskins. Right?
Yeah.
They don't care. They don't care if you get a headband with a feather on it for your Halloween costume and you go around, you know, acting as though you're an American Indian. Cultural appropriation, as they're now calling it. They don't care about that stuff.
No, and friends don't police the content that their friends enjoy. Friends don't give ultimatums to
right.
other friends. And I understand where they're coming from. They may say something like, well, a real friend wouldn't support this transphobic company.
Ridiculous.
Okay. And you would have a point if Rowling's words and speech and actions were actually resulting in real, quantifiable, measurable harm to trans people. But we can't just say, well, she says something mean, and therefore there's actual harm to trans people. Like, there was a trans girl who was stabbed in New York yesterday, or the day before, I don't remember exactly when, but she was stabbed. It's a measure of the loss of perspective that occurs here that we can't have these sorts of conversations. I was having this conversation about Hogwarts on social media, and someone actually brought up this trans girl who was stabbed in New York. And so that's in any way relevant.
Do we know why?
No. And there's no evidence.
A lot of reasons you can get stabbed in New York, right?
Right. There's absolutely no evidence that this person was stabbed because she was a trans girl. Yeah. She was a trans girl who was stabbed. That
right.
doesn't mean she was stabbed because she was a trans girl. But, and we're having a conversation about this video game and about whether or not it's okay to play this video game. This conversation about someone getting stabbed is completely irrelevant to the discussion. It's like me saying, oh, well, I don't like my uncle because he secretly says the N-word at family gatherings. And this person says to me, oh, yeah, I know. My uncle used to lynch a bunch of black people. It's like, whoa, hold on, because these two things are fundamentally different. What you just said is way worse than what I just said. Actually stabbing a person, whether they're trans or cis or straight or whatever, that's tremendously different from being a TERF or playing a video game that is tangentially related to a TERF. There's an entire world of difference between the two things. And this isn't, I say you shouldn't police what entertainment your friends, you know, partake in. And that's true. But if my friends were playing Angry Goitu, which is a video game that was made by Nazis in support of white supremacist ideology, it's not a very good video game. It's a shooter, and it's terrible, and it's meant to be racist and offensive, and it's not very good. But if you pay attention, all you actually do in the entire video game is you play as a white person who's shooting and killing other white people. I don't understand what in and of itself is actually racist about that. You're just a white person shooting other white people. You're not even shooting black people in this game, right?
I'm surprised.
Right. But you're not. You're just shooting other white people. But anyway, this isn't Angry Goitu. Angry Goitu, the point of that is to be racist and, you know, white supremacist. That's not Hogwarts Legacy. The plot of Hogwarts Legacy isn't about killing trans people or being transphobic.
Doesn't it actually have a trans person in it?
It does. And that right there shows you how truly unhinged these people are about Hogwarts Legacy.
Have you encountered that character? You said you played the game for 3 to 4 hours last night. Does that character make an appearance?
She does. I have not gotten there. I need to find this character's name real quick, so give me 1 second, because I don't remember off the top of my head. But that character, more than any other, shows exactly how insane these people are. The character's name is, stupid advertisements. It's Serona something.
Okay.
And I can't find the last name now. Serona, right? Mm-hmm. Not exactly the best name I've ever heard, but not a terrible name either.
Okay.
It's just a name. But the fact that it has the word sir in it, S-I-R-O-N-A, that's what they're pointing to as being transphobic. They're like, well, look, if you erase half of this character's name and you basically change this character's name to being an honorific male pronoun, then the character has a male pronoun for a name, and that's transphobic. They're seriously arguing this. It's completely insane.
But what's the actual content surrounding the character?
I haven't encountered Serona yet.
There's more coming up here in moments. You can share your thoughts here. It is Free Talk Live.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, silverlungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
We'll be right back. USA News update. President Biden says his thoughts and prayers are with the entire Michigan State family after last night's mass shooting on the university's campus.
Three lives have been lost and five seriously injured. And it's the family's worst nightmare. It's happening far too often in this country.
The president calling on Congress to enact common sense gun reforms, including stricter background checks and an assault weapons ban. It's still not clear what the high-altitude objects shot down over Alaska, Canada, and Michigan last week are exactly. Following a classified briefing on the unidentified objects, Republican Senator Marco Rubio said many questions remain, including who sent them. And interest rate hikes may end later this year. That's according to the president of the Philadelphia Federal Reserve. In remarks to LaSalle University, Patrick Harker said he believes it'll be time to let monetary policy do its work once a decision is made to end the rate hikes. John Schaefer, USA News.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Ian and Aria here tonight. We're talking about the what seems to be largely unnecessary controversy surrounding the opinions of one J.K. Rowling by certain trans activists on the internet who have decided to turn this woman into their arch enemy. And like I said, there's this lengthy blog, and I will link to it on our social media so you can see it for yourself over at social.freetalklive.com. I'm sure you follow the @FTL account to get, you know, show prep and stuff from us. I'm not going to read the whole thing here, but from what I'm seeing here, she seems to be a relatively thoughtful individual who does not appear to be, you know, hateful in any way towards trans people. And these people that are trying to make it sound as though she's the enemy of all things trans, I do not see that here. In fact, she says she may have considered being trans herself if she had been born 30 years later. I'll read the paragraphs here for you. But what you're referring to here, Aria, is this the latest controversy, a game that has been released called Hogwarts Legacy, which you said after about a few hours of playing that the only problem with the game is it's kind of boring. It wasn't really that great.
Well, as a game, as far as games go, it has a number of problems. The map
Every time I open the map in the video game, I end up ranting up briefly about how terrible the map is. Like, map technology in video games goes back to at least the early 80s, and I don't know why they struggled so much to have a decent working map in Hogwarts Legacy, but the map that's included is completely useless. The worst video game map I've seen probably in the last 15 years of gaming.
Is this a game like an open world game, or is it a sort of linear level you got to get from point A to point B? And
it's an RPG, very similar. It's not quite open world. It's sort of like Skyrim, except there are quests that one has to follow a bit more structured and organized than Skyrim.
Got it.
But it is an RPG with quests and all that sorts of stuff. I'm not entirely sure yet to what extent it's really open, because it's very guided so far. There's not much opportunity to explore. It's very structured, very rigid, and just honestly, it's not a whole lot of fun so far. I'm about 4 hours in, and I'm not having a good time. You're supposed to lead with your best foot, right? Mm-hmm. You're supposed to come out strong with an intense, exhilarating game, and I'm just not experiencing that. It's boring and dull, and I'm hoping that at some point it's going to take off.
You're going to keep going? You're going to keep playing it?
Probably, at least for the foreseeable future, just to see if it gets any better, but it's not fun so far.
So the thing is that these quote-unquote activists, you know, that are trying to make people's lives a living hell, apparently, on the Internet because they disagree with something they said, and now all of their products can never be considered good, that something they did enjoy, probably while they were growing up, probably enjoyed quite a bit, and then they had a disagreement, or a perceived disagreement at least, with the creator of those things that they really enjoyed, and then they decided to completely turn against their previous fandom, and reject it entirely, but not just simply rejecting it entirely, but also to reject anyone else who doesn't reject it entirely.
Yes, a lot of people are ending friendships and families, family ties over that, and to me that's absolutely disgusting, man. Like,
it's petty is what it is.
I lost friends when I transitioned. Mm-hmm. I lost family members when I transitioned. People cut me out of their lives just because I transitioned. The idea of ending friendships because they like a video game that I don't like. And again, this isn't Angry Goy 2. This is just a video game that may, by one connection to another connection to another connection, it has some ties to this TERF.
Alleged.
Well, she is a TERF. She's admitted to being a TERF.
Okay.
But that's not to say that she's transphobic or that she's anti-trans. And I don't think she is.
No. That's not what I'm seeing.
I think it's disingenuous of people to act like she hates trans people, or she wants people to not be trans, or she wants trans people to be put to death, or to whatever degree. Or she just doesn't want people to be trans. I don't think she has anything particularly against trans people. To me, she's I don't know what she is, but she hasn't seemed to me as someone who hates trans people and wants to do them any harm whatsoever.
As I say here, I feel like she's fairly thoughtful. And again, I've jumped down in this essay, this lengthy blog post here. She's referring to a woman who, a physician and researcher who wrote a paper, Lisa Littman. She said, parents, this is Littman, who said in an interview, parents online were describing an unusual pattern of transgender identification where multiple friends and even entire friend groups became transgender identified at the same time. I would have been remiss had I not considered social contagion and peer influences as potential factors. She mentioned online websites like Instagram and Reddit and such as being contributing factors to rapid onset gender dysphoria, where she believes that in the realm of transgender identification, youth have created particularly insular echo chambers. And we have seen that in Generation Z, for instance, which you are not, you're a millennial, but in Generation Z, we're seeing a much larger percentage of people who are non-binary or trans or sort of like something else category.
But that doesn't necessarily mean a whole lot. And this article that she's quoting, it may be one of the papers that Rowling was quoting or pointing to as examples of something that supported her was disavowed by its own writer, or it was considered fringe and the mainstream psychology community rejected it or something like that. I don't remember the specifics, and I haven't followed it very closely.
Well, just because mainstream psychology rejects something doesn't make it wrong.
Well, certainly not, but just because she can point to this paper by this psychologist or whatever also doesn't make it necessarily true or valid.
Well, but it's an interesting point, is the idea that maybe more people are being trans because it's perceived as something that's kind of cool amongst their friend group.
It could be that,
but
it could also
be a real thing.
It could also just be that we have more left-handed people now because we're no longer punishing people for trying to write with their left hands.
I've never heard that we have more left-handed people. Is that a thing?
Well, we don't.
Oh, okay.
But the same number of people we've always had left-handed.
Okay.
But however, 100 years ago, you were considered evil if you wrote with your left hand. That's what the word sinister means, left-handed or something.
Is that right?
Yeah. And there was a long history that if you were left-handed, they would punish you and they would teach you to write with your right hand. You weren't allowed to be left-handed. And then suddenly we stopped doing that. We're like, oh, my God, like 10% of the population suddenly left-handed. But no, look, they were always left-handed. We just didn't allow them to be. So it could be some element of that is going on where we're just no longer punishing it and we're allowing people to explore their gender identity and their own
things. I'm sure that's a factor. But let's continue. So she says the paper by Ms. Lippman caused a furor. She was accused of bias and of spreading misinformation about transgender people, subjected to a tsunami of abuse and a concerted campaign to discredit both her and her work. The journal took the paper offline and re-reviewed it before republishing it. However, her career took a similar hit to that suffered by Maya Forstater, which is the woman that she had liked earlier. Lisa Lippman had dared challenge one of the central tenets of trans activism, which is that a person's gender identity is innate, like sexual orientation. Nobody, the activist insisted, could ever be persuaded into being trans. Do you hold that belief?
I don't know. I honestly don't. And I don't know that I believe that, you know, being gay is genetic or being gay isn't a choice. I don't know exactly where I fall in these. I think it's disingenuous to say
that. I certainly know many gay guys who believe that it's genetic, that they were always gay.
Well, it could very well be. But it could also be a choice for some people. I don't think it's always one or the other.
Yeah, I don't think you could exclude that
completely. And I don't think it's fair to say that, you know, being gay isn't a choice. I think for most people it's probably not a choice. But for some people it very well could be. And maybe some people could be persuaded to be trans. I don't know.
She says further, the argument of many current trans activists is if you don't let a gender dysphoric teenager transition, they will kill themselves. In an article explaining why he...
Well, not will, but like 40% of the time they do. So, I mean, that you kind of can't discount that. 40% is a very high suicide rate. And if we can lower that by allowing people to transition and explore their gender identity, then I'm just not seeing a downside to it other than the fact that it makes, you know, some people uncomfortable.
In an article explaining why he resigned from the Tavistock, which is a gender clinic from the NHS, the National Health Service in England, psychiatrist Marcus Evans stated that claims that children will kill themselves if not permitted to transition do not, quote, align substantially with any robust data or studies in this area, nor do they align with the cases I've encountered over decades as a psychotherapist. Rowling says the writings of young trans men reveal a group of notably sensitive and clever people. The more of their accounts of gender dysphoria I've read, with their insightful descriptions of anxiety, disassociation, eating disorders, self-harm, and self-hatred, the more I've wondered whether if I'd been born 30 years later, I too might have tried to transition. The allure of escaping womanhood would have been huge. I struggled with severe OCD as a teenager. If I'd found community and sympathy online that I couldn't find in my immediate environment, I believe I could have been persuaded to turn myself into the son my father had openly said he'd have preferred.
I mean, maybe, you know, we can cast this die in any direction and say, well, maybe if this had happened, this would have happened. Or maybe if that would have happened, this would have happened. I don't think it's a productive avenue worth exploring to be like, well, maybe if I was born 30 years later, I would have transitioned. And I can't speak to the female to male experience. Maybe they do want to transition because they escaped the burdens of womanhood, or maybe they just feel like they're a male. I have no idea.
Well, I think what I see here is somebody who can empathize, right? So I'm hearing that J.K. Rowling is saying she could have been this. She's saying, you know, had trans been more of a thing when she was a child, that maybe she would have chosen to go in that direction for various different reasons.
But she's looking at it from a weird perspective that I don't think trans people look at it from. I certainly don't look at it as... When I said about, quote, to transition, it wasn't because, you know, my life as a male is too easy, and it's, boy, it sure would be... It sure would make my life more challenging if I had to adopt the struggles of the woman. And I suspect that most female-to-male people don't think, oh, my life as a woman sucks, and I want to have me some of that male privilege, so I'm going to transition. I don't think that's the perspective anyone comes at it from. And I understand why she would say that, but it's just a matter of gender dysphoria. And for someone who's never experienced it, it's not going to be something that they really have any...
And what is gender dysphoria?
It's the sense that one's body does not correspond to how one wants to present it. I don't know exactly how to explain
it. It's not a match. Something's not
right.
a match.
It's like I have these characteristics, but these are the characteristics that I wish I had.
She says,
I say that, but it sounds cheap when it's just a matter of, oh, well, I wish I had boobs or whatever. It's far more in-depth mm-hmm. than that.
She says, when I read about the theory of gender identity, I remember how mentally sexless I felt in youth. I remember Colette's description of herself as a mental hermaphrodite and Simone de Beauvoir's words, quote, it is perfectly natural for the future woman to feel indignant at the limitations posed upon her by her sex. The real question is not why she should reject them. The problem is rather to understand why she accepts them, unquote. She says, as I didn't have a realistic possibility of becoming a man back in the 1980s, it had to be books and music that got me through both my mental health issues and the sexualized scrutiny and judgment that set so many girls to war against their bodies in their teens. Fortunately for me, I found my own sense of otherness and my ambivalence about being a woman reflected in the work of female writers and musicians who reassured me that, in spite of everything a sexist world tries to throw at the female-bodied, it's fine not to feel pink, frilly, and compliant inside your own head. It's okay to feel confused, dark, both sexual and non-sexual, unsure of what or who you are. So what I'm hearing here is a woman who's being very honest about her youth and her... You know, being unsure of herself in her youth.
She doesn't get it.
Okay.
She is approaching the subject.
I think she gets herself.
She does.
Okay.
But she doesn't get the trans struggle, right? These aren't people who are like, oh, well, I don't like pink and frilly stuff, so I'm really a man, right? That's the perspective mm-hmm. that she's coming at it from, and that's not all there is to it. There are plenty of trans men, which is a female-to-male person, who don't like frilly pink stuff. Some of them do mm-hmm. like frilly pink stuff, but that's not all it boils down to. And these female-to-male people, the lack of their interest in typically female things isn't what makes them trans. And that seems to be the perspective that Rowling is coming at it, which is, oh, well, when I was a teenager, I didn't like these pink frilly things either. So maybe if I was born 30 years later, I would have been trans, but... That's not all there is to it with these people who transition, with trans people. That it's not just a matter of, oh, well, I don't like football. I like football just fine, right? I don't like steaks or I don't like wearing pants or whatever. None of that is what makes me a trans person. It's true that I'm not into football, but at the same time, I do like football. And at the same time, there are female trans people who do like pink stuff, who do like frilly stuff, and there are some who don't.
Mm-hmm.
These issues, these gender cultural norms are relevant to the discussion, but they're not the end-all be-all that Rowling seems to think they are.
Okay. She says, I want to be very clear here. I know transition will be a solution for some gender dysphoric people.
Yep.
Although, I'm also aware, through extensive research, that studies have consistently shown that between 60 to 90% of gender dysphoric teens will grow out of their dysphoria. Again and again, I've been told to just, quote, meet some trans people, unquote. I have. In addition to a few younger people who are all adorable, I happen to know a self-described transsexual woman who's older than I am and wonderful. Although she's open about her past as a gay man, I've always found it hard to think of her as anything other than a woman. And I believe and certainly hope she's completely happy to have transitioned.
And I definitely want to highlight that because she's right. Rowling is right. And you're not allowed to say this today. And this may be why people call her transphobic, but gender...
That's not what I'm hearing.
No.
At all.
But this may be why people call her that, because you're not allowed to say this. Gender identity disorder, this situation where one's gender doesn't correspond to one's birth sex, or however one wishes to characterize it, it sucks. And the most effective way of treating it for some people is to transition. Like, for me, the most effective way of resolving all of these issues is to transition into being a trans woman. Mm-hmm. But that's not the solution for everyone. That's not what everyone needs. Maybe some people just need a therapist. They just need someone to talk to, or they just want to be a drag queen on the weekends,
and
or whatever.
Saying having that viewpoint is what is causing the hatred.
Possibly. Mm-hmm. It's certainly causing it from some people, because you're not allowed to say that. You're not allowed to recognize the reality that transitioning isn't for everyone. Transitioning is a treatment for gender identity disorder. It's not the only treatment. It's not always the best treatment. Just like chemotherapy is a treatment for some forms of cancer, but it's not always the best treatment. It's not always the best option. And I have a headache, right? But that doesn't mean I need to take Excedrin or aspirin or Tylenol or whatever. Yep. Maybe that works for some people in some scenarios, but right now it's not going to work for me in this scenario. So just because you have this one medicine, transitioning is the medicine, doesn't mean it's always used to treat this medical condition that is gender identity disorder. And that's just a simple, true statement, but you're not allowed to say it.
In the quote-unquote collective.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, these are people who, sounds like these are people who are so committed to their way. It's their way or the highway. Yeah. If you don't go full on and, you know, cut your body parts off, then these people will say you're not serious about it. Is that right?
There are some of those. That tends to be less true
among
the left.
That's got to be the extreme. The most extreme, right?
I mean, in my experience, most people on the left don't think you have to undergo any sort of surgery or even any sort of hormone replacement therapy in order to transition or to be female or male or whatever. Like, I know some trans people, or some people who claim to be trans. I don't want to get into the complications there, but they have a 5 o'clock shadow and they want to be called, you know, her. And you have people on the left, these same people on the left who would call Rowling transphobic or anti-trans, or say she's literally killing trans people. They would say that this person is trans and should be called she, her, and all of these other things.
Simply because they say so.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I would argue, I don't think one has to have, you know, bottom surgery or top surgery or any sort of surgery, but one does need to do some sort of effort into transitioning.
Yeah, see, to me, it's like, especially for young people, you know, who many are likely, as Rowling points out, to possibly change their mind at some point. I think it's fine. You know, put on makeup, wear extensions, grow your hair out, do whatever it is you feel like, put on whatever clothing you want to. But chopping body parts off, to me, is going too far, because there's certain things that you can't reverse, right? And that would make life very, very unfortunate if you decided later on that, oh, actually, you know, I would have rather had my penis, you know?
Well, nothing is actually reversible, right? And this is where the issue gets really complicated. It's like, you're going to go through puberty one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Time is not going to stop. Whether you're a male who wants to let's just say you have me as a 12-year-old, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can progress through puberty as a male, or I can undergo, you know, hormone replacement therapy and go through puberty as a female. I can take either one of those two paths, and I could transition and then go on to regret it and say, man, I wish that I had gone through puberty as a male, then I'd be taller, I'd be more muscular, I'd have a deeper voice. Or I could be happy with it and say, boy, I'm glad I transitioned. And we have the opposite on the other end as well, where I could not transition and I could be happy with that result, or I could be sad about that result. So we have these two paths, and each one could have regret and each one could have happiness. We don't know which one is going to lead to happiness and which one is going to lead to regret. All we know is that I am going to get older. I am going to go through puberty. Whether I do that as a male or female or not, it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And there is the possibility of regret, and there is the possibility of happiness. We don't know whether I'm going to be happy about transitioning or upset about transitioning.
It's up to you.
Or whether I'll be happy about not transitioning or upset about not transitioning.
Mm-hmm.
it's not anyone else's decision but mine, because I'm the only one who has to live with the consequences of that. Right? No one else is going to say, oh boy, you really, it really hurts me that you transitioned and now you regret it. Well, okay, I'm the one that hurts.
Yeah.
I'm the one that would hurt in this scenario. So with all of these things being true, that puberty is going to happen, someone is going to go through puberty times, not going to stop for them to do it. All we can do is let that individual make the decision that they think is going to be least likely to lead to regret. And maybe that's transitioning, maybe it isn't transitioning, and maybe it makes people uncomfortable to think about this 13-year-old transitioning into being a girl or transitioning into being a boy, and I get it. That sucks. No one wants to have to face that, but that person is going to go through puberty one way or the other, and it's not any better for them to regret transitioning than it is for them to not regret transitioning.
I see what you're saying.
Whether they transition and regret it or whether they don't transition and regret that, they both suck. There's no good answer here, and any decision they make could lead to regret. So let's let them make the decision that they believe is least likely to lead to regret, whatever that decision is. And maybe it makes you uncomfortable to think about this 13-year-old making these sorts of decisions. And that's true. And again, that sucks. But time's not going to stop. Mm-hmm. A decision has to be made. Whether you allow nature to make that decision or whether you allow them to make that decision for themselves by taking hormones, either way, a decision is going to be made. Something has to be done. And I err on the side of, let this person act in the way that they think is best for them.
I generally would be on that side, but if it comes to cutting off body parts, if I were the parent in that case, I would say that's too far. Like, you want to take pills? Okay, fine. You know, if that's what you really want to do, take some pills. If that's the direction you want to move, but at least at the end of it, you won't ever regret cutting off some sort of body part, because that's like seems to me to be like too far. For somebody who's so young to make a decision like that. Like, if you're out on your own, you're out taking care of yourself, and that's something you want to do, and you can pay for it, because obviously, like, how many teenagers can afford that kind of surgery, right? Like, that's one you'd have to give some years, I think, to really consider.
I think I agree with that, because there's nothing gained by cutting off any body parts, right? That can be done at the age of 19-year-old without having any effect, right? The hormones that can't be done anytime. You know, starting hormone replacement therapy at the age of 12 is enormously different from starting at 18. But having your penis cut off at 18 isn't any different than having it done at 12. So I think I'm with you on that.
We're going to continue. There's a little bit more from J.K. Rowling. She was talking about some of the trans people she knows and likes. There's more coming up here. I think she just doesn't like some of the ones that are, well, threatening her and things like that on the Internet. This is Free Talk Live. Hour number 3 is on the way.
Big news from Newsmax. AT&T's DirecTV just removed Newsmax. Now you can't watch Newsmax on DirecTV or UVerse. With OAN gone last year, that's 2 conservative channels removed in the past year alone. Newsmax is the 4th highest rated cable news channel, with great programs from Greg Kelly, Greta Van Susteren, and Rob Schmidt. Now millions of DirecTV subscribers can't watch them on Newsmax. President Trump, Mike Huckabee, John Voight, Sarah Palin, Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, and many more are demanding that Newsmax be returned to DirecTV. Stand up for free speech. Call AT&T and DirecTV now and let them know you want Newsmax. Call toll-free 877-NEWSMAX and we'll connect you to DirecTV. If you're not a DirecTV subscriber but support Newsmax and free speech, call 877-NEWSMAX to show your support. Dr. Ben Carson says our freedoms are at stake. He urges you to stand up for Newsmax. Call 877-NEWSMAX today.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.